high in the upper 80s at 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Wednesday, September the 3rd, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. I got my main man, Chase Brumfield, alongside manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. Again, that phone number, 205-342-9904. Been a heavy dose of Alabama football the last couple of days, and we'll continue with that conversation and those storylines, but we'll also have, we'll break away today as we do every Wednesday with Matt Coulter on NASCAR at 9:30. Also, Larry the Music Man at 10:30, wanting to know your top five rock guitarists from the 70s. It could be in a band, could be with a duo, could be a guy who played in various bands or fronted different bands or however you want to do it. Just guys that during the 70s you thought rocked the guitar. Larry wants to know who those guys are, in your opinion. It's very subjective. Obviously, there were so many great guitar players from the 70s, entering into the decade in the early 70s, British Invasion guys coming over from the 60s. By the late 70s, you had the arena rock bands on the American side with some guys that were cranking it out. And, of course, you had, guys that were, as I said, like a Jeff Beck, maybe who had come over with the British Invasion, but then during the 70s, was more known for just being a great guitar player than probably how many bands he was in, Jeff Beck Group and different ones. But anyway, that'll be a lot of fun at 10:30. But we will continue to talk Alabama football, obviously, and what has happened over this past weekend. And I've turned the page now, Chase. Let me go ahead and say this. I did Tider Insider TV last night, and I, picked my score 55-6. I think Alabama will absolutely pace Monroe. Brian Vincent, the coach, I think, is a good coach. We had guests from a Monroe TV station yesterday talking about their team, and they opened with a 29-0 victory over FCS St. Francis. But I think they're going to run into a buzzsaw on Saturday night. I think the Alabama players are embarrassed. And if they're not, they should be. And if they're not, then there's a problem, And if they're not, and they go out there and they you look up in the third quarter and it's a 10 or 13 point game, then, there are some problems here. But I don't think that'll be the case. I fully expect Alabama to go up big early. And then, like I said, hang 50 plus on the Warhawks. I mean, my idea of halftime is something like 35 or 38-3. That's kind of what I'm feeling. And I think Alabama will bounce back against a team that roster-wise is just not up to Alabama's level, period. End of story. No debate on that. It doesn't mean they won't play hard. Don't mean they won't have a good plan. Does not mean that they don't have some good players. But overall, the rosters, the differential in talent is huge. And I think after what happened last weekend in Tallahassee, this Alabama team will take care of business on Saturday night. So I've kind of turned the page. Now all you can do is go forward. There's been a lot of negativity, and been a lot of negativity on this show, and I get it. As I said, based on what we heard during the offseason and what Alabama fans' expectations were for this opener and what I think the players and coaches' expectations were for this opener. It's not just the fans. I think the players and the coaches and the staff over there expected to go in there and beat Florida State. And you're 13.5-point favorite, and you go down there and you go up 7-0, and then it's 24-7. And you're playing catch-up the rest of the way, and you lose 31-17. And not only do you lose, but you got, as we've talked about, you got physically overpowered, you got outmanned, you got out-hustled, you got out-prepared, got out-coached. And all of those factors lead to what we've had the last couple of days. But now you do have to move on. And I think that the team and players, one thing about them is they don't have the luxury that fans do to continue to be discussing what happened this past Saturday. They had to get in there on Sunday, make the corrections, and now get ready for Louisiana Monroe. So that's what they're doing. They win that game. Then you get Wisconsin at home the next week. Hopefully you win that game, and you're 2-1 with a bye week going to Georgia. That's That's where you're at, and I think that's where they'll be. And at that point, the Georgia game will be a huge game. It'll be the SEC opener. It'll be on the road. It'll be against a team that has been, over the last 5 years, the most dominant team in the SEC. And it's a team that you've, talking about Alabama, had their number. You know, Kirby's only beaten Alabama one time, and I was there for it. That was the national championship game. Up in Indianapolis. And other than that, Alabama has beaten him and beaten him regularly. So it, you know, kind of is what it is. And, but I do think that, this Alabama team has talent. And as I've said, you know, here in the last couple of minutes, there's still a lot of football ahead for this team. Now, again, based on what we saw this past Saturday, there should be concern. And you look at some of the games on this schedule and you understand that if they can't play better than they played this past Saturday, they're going to lose some more games. But I do think they're capable of playing better. I do think there is enough talent here that if they can right the ship, and let's say it goes the way I think it's going to go. Okay, let's say they win these next two and then they go to Georgia and get beat. They're 2-2. They're 0-1 in the SEC. And there basically is an 8-game season after that. 8 games. And 7 of them will be SEC games. So the margin for error goes down to almost nil. Could you go 9-3 this year and get into the playoff? I think it's possible. But at that point, that Florida State loss is really going to hurt you. But if you were to go 6-2 in the SEC, 9-3 overall, just like you did last year, I do think there's a possibility you could get in the playoff. But ideally, I picked them to go 10-2, and I picked them to lose at Georgia and South Carolina. I did not pick them to lose at Florida State. So that's what I'm pointing out. That's a huge loss in terms of down the road playoff wise, but it is possible. I think this Alabama team, while I don't think they're going to win at Georgia, they could. I don't think they're going to win at South Carolina, but they could. And even if you lose to Georgia and you're 2-2, if you were to win out, go string together 8 straight wins, which is possible, then you're in the playoff, and you might even be in Atlanta. Probably would be in Atlanta. If you go 7-1 in the league, you're probably going to be in Atlanta. If your only loss is to Georgia and you win 7 SEC games after that. So there's still a lot to play for. Is it reasonable to think they can do that? I don't know. I know this. We felt like going into the season they could do it. A lot of people had them going 12-0. So that one game, as bad as it was, doesn't factor in other than we saw it and it's etched in our brains, but they still control what they do going forward. Yes, they'll have to play better. Do I think Florida State's a good team? Yes. I'm pretty amazed. I think it's remarkable. They brought in 50 new players and 14 new starters and were as cohesive as they were on Saturday. You have to give them a lot of credit for that. But I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're a dominant football team. I think they're going to lose some games. But I do think Alabama has the potential to be a lot better than it was on Saturday. I hope so. If not, then, like I said, there's going to be several losses. And if there are several losses, if this team winds up, let's say, 8-4, then it's going to be loud, louder than it is now. And let me say this, too. You have the Iron Bowl out there. And Alabama's beaten Auburn 5 straight times. A lot of this season could come down to that game. Let's say that Alabama is a 3- or 4-loss team going into the Iron Bowl, which is also possible. Let's say that they are 7-4 going to Auburn, and you lose that one, and you're 7-5, and you lose to Auburn for the first time since 2019, and then it's really going to be difficult around here. But if you were 7-4 and you go to Auburn and you win that game, to go 8-4. You're not in the playoff. You're not in Atlanta, but you've got six straight Iron Bowl wins. And you can pitch again that, hey, you know, we finished strong. We got some momentum. If you go to the bowl game and win that one, you can still have a make an argument that the program for next year, you know, is going to be back in position to get into the playoffs. So there's so many scenarios that could play out. We have to play it one game at a time and see how they play out. But I believe this, Chase. I believe on Saturday night, Alabama will look like a dominant football team. Now, I made it clear that I'm taking into account that the opponent is inferior in terms of the overall talent level. So I preface my comments by saying looking like a dominant football team against Louisiana Monroe is not the same as looking like a dominant football team against an SEC opponent. So I am taking into account the opponent. So I'm not going to, if they, let's say that my prediction comes true and Alabama wins 55-6 and looks good doing it. They run for 200 yards and Ty Simpson throws for over 200 yards and a couple touchdowns. Austin Mack gets to come in, and let's say Austin Mack comes in and plays the fourth quarter and he throws for, you know, 80, 90, 100 yards and a touchdown, and you come out of there and you're feeling good about yourself. But then you do have to temper your enthusiasm or curb your enthusiasm based on the fact that you're playing an inferior opponent. So there's a lot of ways this season can go, as it is for every team out there. Listen, whether you won in the first week or you lost in the first week, the season's still in front of you. And let me say this too. Alabama did not play the type of team that a lot of teams played in their first game. They didn't play a pushover. They played a marquee name at their place. Even though Florida State was coming off a dismal season. 2 years ago, they were undefeated in the regular season. LSU played at Clemson. Texas played at Ohio State. But there were other teams that played directional schools, played at home. Arkansas played Alabama A&M. Ole Miss played Georgia State. Auburn played a solid opponent at Baylor. But some schools play directional opponents. So just because they're 1-0 doesn't mean they're a better football team than Alabama. We don't know. Your schedule, who you play and when you play them does have a lot to say about how you look. And it just so happened Alabama played a big road game against a good team to open the season, got beat, and now it's worst case scenario. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they are worse than some of these teams that won in the first week. Alabama may very well be better than a lot of these teams. Missouri played Central Arkansas. You can go on and on. So in that first week, win or lose, some teams played really good competition and some teams didn't. Now, Alabama's going to play one of those type schools this weekend. And as I said, I expect the result to be similar to what some of these other schools had in week one. Let's just say this. And this is not the way it worked out, obviously. Let's say Alabama opened at home last Saturday night against Monroe, ULM, and they won, like I predicted, 55-6. And you were playing at Florida State this week. The vibe around here would be completely different. Now, that doesn't mean the result would be different. I don't know if they would go in there this Saturday and win or not. But we wouldn't be having all these conversations. But we wouldn't know because of the opponent where Alabama was. We would just assume, well, they won 55-6, had a great offseason. We would have the same amount of confidence going into the game this week as they had last week. But all of the negativity would not be surrounding it. Then if you went down there and lost this Saturday, then you'd be right back to all the negativity. But my point is, if Alabama had opened at home against an inferior opponent on Saturday, we wouldn't know yet. They would not have been exposed yet. And everything right now would be just smooth sailing. So the fact that they opened on the road against a good opponent kind of brought this to fruition. So from that standpoint, if they do have the potential to be a really good team, then maybe, just maybe, that loss right off the bat gives them a sense of urgency that they didn't have. And I don't know why they wouldn't have it. I'm not trying to figure out. I'm just saying maybe that lights a fire under you. And you can get on a roll. We shall see. Hey, I need to let you know this hour of the Gary Harris Show is being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. I usually do that right at the top, but I jumped into this conversation about Alabama. But they're your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. We'll be right back. We can take some phone calls in the next segment if you'd like. Matt Coulter at, coming up at 9:30. 205-342-9904 is the number on the Storage Center hotline. That's 205-342-9904. And we'll be right back.
The Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Wednesday morning. Tuscaloosa County School Superintendent Dr. Carrie Johnson made it official last night that her job of the last 5 years will end Friday and she'll become the superintendent of Pelham City Schools. Her position will be posted for 30 days, followed by interviews before a new superintendent is selected. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's free all throughout the day. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend to reminisce on college days or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meat and Three Special. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m., get a meat and three vegetables for just $8.49. Or for a lighter appetite, try the Lucky Lunch Soup, Salad, or Sandwich Combo. I'll see you at the Free.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside.
And do for you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com, North River Timber Company.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine today. The chance of a few scattered showers through tonight. The high today, 86. The low tonight, 67. Tomorrow, partly sunny. A few spots could see a passing shower during the day. The high in the upper 80s at 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And we got Matt Coulter on NASCAR coming up in the next segment. Right now, let's get out on the Storage Center hotline and talk to Joseph. What's up, Joseph?
What's up, Gary?
You tell me, man.
Let me ask you something, man.
Okay.
How much time do you think Kevin DeBoer's got before they fire him?
Oh, I think he's not going to get fired after this season. I mean, I don't know, but I mean,
he could lose every game this season. And
well, he's not going to lose every game, man. They're not going to lose every game. Okay, yeah, there's a scenario in which he could get fired, but they're not going to lose every game. That's not going to happen. They're going to win some games.
Well, if he wins today, this Saturday, which I think he will, but he goes, loses to Wisconsin, loses to Georgia, loses to Vanderbilt, loses to Missouri, loses to Auburn, loses to, Tennessee, and then loses out the SEC game. Would that be a reason for him to get fired?
I don't know. I don't control that line of thinking. That's for somebody else to make that decision. I mean, I don't think they're going to lose every SEC game they play. And, if they were to do that, then yeah, I imagine everything would be on the table. But I mean, I don't think they're going to lose every game, and I don't make those decisions anyway. So we'll just have to let it play out. That's all. That's the only way I know how to do it. I can't jump ahead and say, well, if this happens and that happens, he's going to get fired. We just have to let it get play out game by game. If they were to go 3-9 and lose, 8 SEC games, or he might not have a job here. But I don't think that's going to happen. They're too talented of a football team.
Yeah, it didn't show this last Saturday here. It didn't show that it was that talented.
No, they got beat. So you hope you come back and win this week.
So right now, Alabama fans literally have zero hope right now.
All right,
I would dare say 90% of the fan base is calling for his head.
All right, man. Well, appreciate your phone call. It's 9:28 here on the Gary Harris Show. And we got Matt Coulter on NASCAR coming up next. And also, I want to talk to you about my friend Cliff Clark at Decades Pub and Grub downtown at Timberson Square, where you can step back in time and taste the flavor of every decade. At Decades Pub and Grub, whether you're craving a classic burger, a stack sandwich, or one of our signature cocktails, we can cover you. And we've got the vibe and the flavor to match. Catch the game on the big screen, sing along to throwback hits, and make every night one to remember. At Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past. Downtown Timberson Square. All right, we're going to come back with Matt Coulter on NASCAR next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide welcome the ULM Warhawks to Tuscaloosa. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football, the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
Not available in every state. Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Follow Tide 100.9 on Facebook today to watch our live shows, read the great articles, and interact with Bama fans today.
But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance.
Gary Harris Show, 9:33, and it's time for Matt Coulter on NASCAR. We had another really good race this past Sunday at Darlington, the Cookout Southern 500, and Chase Briscoe, who won it a year ago with a different team, came back and won this year, and really goes from being in the playoffs to, when you win that first race of the playoffs, Matt, you set yourself up for a pretty good opportunity to make it to the final four. And listen, man, he had a strong car, had the best car, led the most laps, was out front at the end, and nobody could catch him. So you got to give it up to the number 19, Chase Briscoe, the Joe Gibbs Toyota Camry, for picking up a huge win for him and that organization.
Yeah, and like you said, he dominated with the most laps led, and he held off Reddick down the stretch. He ran a great race. And that's, as we know, we talked about it last week, that is, you know, that's the lady in black, Darlington, the track too tough to tame. But he's tamed it 2 years in a row now. And, yeah, I was reading odds earlier this morning. Who's the odds on favor to win the championship? Well, it's the first guy out of the chute.
Yeah.
And it's the number 19 Toyota.
Our picks, William Byron for me wasn't awful, but, well, he was never really in contention. 11th at the end of the first stage, 10th at the end of the second stage, and then finished 21st. You had Kyle Larson, who was in contention for a while, but wound up finishing 19th, so neither one of us really came close, although you have an 8-2 lead as we go to the Enjoy Illinois 300 in Madison, Illinois this week. But I don't know. For Briscoe, as you said, I mean, there's woulda, couldas, and shouldas for some other drivers, but it would have probably taken either a mistake or a mechanical failure for someone to catch him. He was that dominant, Matt.
Yeah, he really was. And like I said, makes him the early favorite. He led 309 laps.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I
didn't realize he was quite that dominant. But who led the next best is just 15, and that was John Hunter Nemechek. Man, that's incredible. It was as dominating a performance we've seen this year, and as I just mentioned a minute ago, it's also at one of the toughest tracks to do so. So congratulations to him, Joe Gibbs Racing. Let's see what they can do from now.
Yeah. All right, before we get to Illinois and before we continue to talk about the playoffs, I do want to ask you about what's going on now. It's very contentious with 2311. The Michael Jordan team and Front Row Motorsports, owned by entrepreneur Bob Jenkins, with this charter situation. Again, we know a charter is kind of like a franchise. When you have a charter, you're guaranteed spots in the races. You're guaranteed a bigger chunk of the payoff. 13 organizations signed the charter agreements last September after NASCAR made its final offer on charter extensions. As I said, 13 signed, 2311 and Front Row refused. Then they went to court, got a preliminary injunction saying they should be recognized as chartered for this season until a jury verdict on the antitrust allegations. That was overturned, and 2311 and FRM are currently competing as open teams. NASCAR wants the money back the teams were paid during the portion of the season they were chartered. So I don't know when this is going to be settled, but NASCAR obviously is not going to give in at this point. So there is a possibility that 2311 and Front Row Motorsports could go into next season without charters, Matt. Ouch.
Well, you know, they'll still figure out a way to get into these shows. And I don't think NASCAR wants them to be without either. But guess how fast the wheels of the justice system work. And, you know, this is now at the federal level, so there's no telling how long it could take to settle this. You'd hope that they could have a meeting in the middle, but I don't think either one of these sides wants that. I think one side, and that's Front Row and 2311, they want to win. And certainly NASCAR, and, you know, Gary, we've been covering this for a long time. NASCAR doesn't like to lose, and guess what? They don't. We'll see if this is in here. It's in here for the long haul. That's about the only thing I can say. I'm sitting here reading more about it, and it gets confusing for my little legal mind. So we'll see what happens. There's going to be a lot that's going to be happening over the next few months, though. I know that for sure.
It is, and I guess I'm like you. I don't really understand it, but what I could see is if you're one of the 13 teams that are chartered and you signed and you believe NASCAR has told you the truth, and then you're reading some of these court documents that you're getting told one thing and then they're saying another, you could be looking at some of these 13 teams saying, this is not, I guess what I'm asking you, and this may be too tough a question for you to answer, but could the whole charter system blow up?
No, I think just the opposite. I think there's strength in the 13 versus 2, and I think NASCAR will play that. And I think in any litigious situation, you're going to have, you know, a look from afar and go, well, I didn't know that, and I didn't know that. But they signed them. They're in. They believe in it. And I don't know. You make an interesting point, which I very obviously, Gary, I hadn't thought of before. But, no, I think that the 13 may be just as unified as the 2.
All right. Here's why I said that. Dan Towers, the majority owner of Spire Motorsports NASCAR team, as well as owner of Cadillac F1, Andretti Global, and other motorsports properties, said he was very disappointed with the direction the lawsuit has taken. He said, we had meetings with the NASCAR brass a few weeks ago, and it's how can we help? Tower said this at last week's IndyCar season finale. What we saw in court was that was released in the case is very inconsistent with what NASCAR says privately. And so I need to understand, who am I dealing with? Which one is it? Is it the people to meet with privately, or is it what you say when we're not around? So he sounds very frustrated with NASCAR and how they're handling those 13 teams that are chartered. That's the only reason I kind of wondered if they might say, hey, so anyway, it's a mess. We know that. As you know, when you have, whether it's team sports and you know, you have a general manager or an organization, when you have everybody from NASCAR's perspective, it's easier if everybody goes along with the way we do it, and then you have two teams that don't. Plus, let's say this, Tyler Reddick has a clause in his contract that says if his Toyota is not chartered, he can get breach of contract and get out of his contract.
Wow. Well, you've done a lot more research into this than I have, and I'll have to do some in the coming weeks because I was unaware of the last 2 points you've made. So that's about all I can
tell. Yeah, I was at the TV station last night, and it came across, I guess because of all this going on, it came across as an alert, you know, on my computer on the AP wire. So I pulled that story up and read it, and that's when I said, whoa, man, this thing is wild. But let's get back to the racing. Chase Briscoe right now is in a really good position, but the playoffs continue with the Enjoy Illinois 300. Worldwide Technology Raceway in Madison, Illinois, 240 laps, 300 miles. Give us the track report.
Well, tracks Enjoy Illinois, but it's really, it draws more, I think, from St. Louis. Than
that. It does, yeah.
But it's a cool track. It's a unique layout. You know, we were talking about Darlington, how it's an egg shape. Well, this is an egg shape, too. It's just a little skinnier. 9 degrees and 11 degrees in the bankings from 1 and 2. 1 and 2 is the smaller of the end of the track. And then 3 and 4, they're 9 and 11 degrees. It's 1.25 miles. So, you know, that's almost a short track, Gary. Of course, Darlington's only 1.3. But they've only been racing, this is just the fourth year that they've raced. The Truck Series started several years ago, but this is only the fourth year of the NASCAR Cup Series has taken laps there. And I really haven't read too much on whether or not the drivers like this track or not, but I know Penske does. Ba-doom-bop.
Yeah, Cindery won last year. And you got the first pick, so, you know, not that I have any chance to come back and catch you, but if you win this week, you've already broken the record. I had 7 winners last year. You've got 8 already, so you've got a chance to get another one, and you get the entire 3 Penske team if you decide to go that way with one of their cars.
Well, he won for me just a couple of weeks ago, so I'm going to go with a 12 car. I'm going to go with Blaney again. The first race was won by Logano. The second was won by Kyle Busch, and then last year, as you mentioned, was won by Austin Cindric. And just a note on the Kyle Busch deal, 2023, that's the last race he's ever won.
Yeah, he and Keselowski both have just listen, man, it's like every sport. Sometimes you just, you know, you get long in the tooth, and but Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski both this year, very, very disappointing seasons. There's no other way around it. Now, they could still win a race in the playoffs. And you know, these guys, like we talked about before, they're just, because you're not in the playoffs doesn't mean they don't, you know, allow you to win. So,
yeah, and speaking of that, let me bring it up again. We do almost every week. look out, drivers, for that number 77. Carson Hocevar is going to try and win when he doesn't care whether you're first in the points or 50th.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right, you got Blaney, and I tell you what, I'm just going to say it for the record. I think you're going to get your ninth winner. I think Ryan Blaney's going to win this race, but I can't pick him because you did. I'm looking at past performance outside of the Penske teams. I think Christopher Bell has a lot of incentive and could be good here. I think Hamlin could be good here, but Byron, Larson, all the usual suspects. And hey, man. Chase Briscoe's hot, and we know how it is sometimes when you're a hot driver. You know, I don't think you can count him out, but I'm going to stay with Penske too, and because I do think this is a track, their track, and I like Cindric. I think he's a good kid. I think he's a decent driver, but Logano has a history of when he has struggled, just kind of coming out of nowhere, and they have not run well lately at all, whether it's been, you know, him spinning out or mechanical failure or just bad luck. And, you know, Penske's going to be strong here. So you'll take the 12. I'll take the 22. How about that? I'll go Logano.
Well, Logano's a good pick because sometimes he'll get red hot just like he did in the playoffs mm-hmm. 2 years ago. But now currently he's below the cut line.
I know. My point. They're in trouble. So that's when he usually is at his best, though. Remember last year, you know, he got wrecked by Dylan, and then had to get a reversal on the results to get into the playoffs. And then when he got in the playoffs, man, he did a number on everybody. So I think this is going to be that rate because we know how hard he will drive when he is motivated and up against the wall, pardon the pun, because he does not want to be out of this thing when they cut it down to 12. I mean, he runs for championships. So I think a highly motivated Joey Logano in a good car on a good track for the Penske cars will be tough to handle. It would be interesting if he and Blaney were battling at the end to see how hard they would race each other. I think pretty hard.
There's no doubt. One would kind of think that Logano might go over the top more so, but
he would. No, he would. That's his personality. Blaney is a lot more, let me say this, a lot more conscientious driver than Joey Logano is.
Yeah, I would think so. No question about it.
Yeah. Gil texted in that he's going.
That's why a lot more people like him than they like Joey Logano.
You're right. Gil texted in that he's going with Logano this week. So was leaning Larson, but going with a 22. So I've got some support for my pick.
Well, there you go. We'll see what happens.
All right, Matt. I tell you what. So we'll wait for the race, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. That's a 2:00 Central drop of the white flag, and you can catch it on USA Network. But I got to get your take because you do the pregame and postgame shows. You got your podcast. What you saw, your reaction for my show. I know you've already talked about it all, you know, weekend long, Saturday night after, you know, the game on your postgame show here on Tide and Bear. But Alabama, man, just went down there and got whipped. It was really surprising for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was very surprising for me. I thought they were going to win it by 7. I think I picked it 34-14, something like that. But here's the deal, and I know you've talked about it because you're an old school guy. I'm an old school guy, but football hadn't changed a whole lot. And you can talk about whether or not Ryan Williams was in the slot, whether or not the injuries contributed to this. The fact is, Alabama could not run the football, and Florida State could. Boom. End of story. Mic drop. That is it. Alabama had 55 yards on their first carry. We've all heard these stats, and then 34 for the rest of the game. You run the ball, you win the game. You stop the run, you win the game. It was a very, very poor performance by Alabama, and one where on another side, I didn't see that edge that Alabama's had over the last 18 years, 17 years.
No, we didn't, and I do think, for the record, I've already made my score prediction last night on Tider Insider TV, and this is not necessarily a forerunner of what's to come, because they're going to play much tougher teams. But had Alabama opened against Monroe last Saturday at home and won big, you know, we'd be going into this week, and they might have got it exposed in week 2. But, you know, all this negativity would be gone. I do think that the roster differential is just too much. I got Alabama rolling 55-6. I mean, I think if you've got some pride, and you know, I think really they've been humiliated. I mean, the public scrutiny that they've taken, the way the fans have turned on them. If you've got some pride and culture, you've got some talent, which we believe they do, you come back out Saturday night and you make a statement against an inferior opponent, period.
Well, and the players got to stand up, but there was poor coaching performances too. And great, by the way, let me say this, and I should have said it right off the top. Florida State is a good football team. They were well prepared, and boy, they were very, very well coached. And not just building up to it, but in game. Some of the Malzahn calls, the two reverses, were just excellent. So let me sign off here by giving the Seminoles a lot of credit. And sometimes that's kind of tough to do because they seem a bit whiny. But they didn't do that Saturday. They just whipped Bama's butt. Let's hope they rebound against the Warhawks and move on.
All right, Matt, word about pregame and postgame show and the podcast before we close it out.
Yeah, we will be on 1:30, and then after the game, beforehand with D.C., afterwards with Wyatt. Come see us. We'll be down at Grandstand. So we'll be doing that. And the podcast is developing. We've got the one out. You can look it up under many social media platforms. Just go to Good Company, /episode 1 or whatever in there. You can get to it. So a lot of good we're developing. I'm getting ready to go take 2 shows right now. So I'll tell you more about it next week. Thank you, and roll tide, Gary.
All right, thank you, Matt. Matt and I have all in on Penske this week. At Illinois, he's got Blaney and I've got Logano. It's 9:50 here on the Gary Harris Show. I want to remind you, you've been hearing the commercials. I'll be back at Friday at the Innisfree Irish Pub, 9 to 11. Friday's at the Free, and this week we will begin our Bama football trivia giveaway contest that we do, and people really look forward to it. And we're going to give away the standard that print signed and numbered by Greg Gamble, the artist. It's got all 6 of Nick Saban's national championship teams and trophies represented in the print. It is beautiful. It's ready to be framed, and we're going to give it away on Fridays at the Free, this Friday at Innisfree Irish Pub. All right, it's 9:51. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and wrap up this first hour and get you ready for hour number 2 of the Gary Harris Show.
On the Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Game, we will continue a Southern Ohio score prediction day. Alabama and ULM as we march to Alabama's home opener. We'll break that down with Alex Scarborough from 247 Sports, and we'll talk to Aaron Torres from Fox Sports. And your phone call starting at 2 p.m. here on the Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tuscaloosa's Old Colony Golf Course is an 18-hole championship layout designed by 1976 U.S. Open champion Jerry Pate. Director of Golf John Gray and fitting specialist Bob Montgomery are PGA certified. Mike Shivitz is the head professional and director of the Tuscaloosa Junior Golf Program. Call today to secure a tee time at the Tuscaloosa Championship Golf Course. Everyone can play. 205-562-3201. Old Colony is operated by Para.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know...
Do for you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com, North River Timber Company.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine today. The chance of a few scattered showers through tonight. The high today, 86. The low tonight, 67. Tomorrow, partly sunny. A few spots could see a passing shower during the day. The high in the upper 80s at 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:55. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We're about to wrap up this this first hour. Interesting piece by Michael Casagrande, and I have not read it all yet. I looked over it. Why some seats revoked from longtime Alabama season ticket holders are showing up on resale sites for big markups. A deep look at the complex Tide ticket business. The resale business has become huge. And the money to keep your tickets is sizable. Needed to keep them. So you have a lot of longtime ticket holders that lost their season tickets. And some of them have wound up on the secondary ticket market. For big money. So I'm going to read the whole article. But it does represent where we're at right now with college sports and the money and everything is just built around financial considerations. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the first hour of the program. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. And in the second hour, we're going to visit with Larry the Music Man at 10:30. Talk about... your top guitarist from the 70s, rock guitarist. And also we'll talk more Alabama football. We'll have some audio for you as well. Take some phone calls. Again, Friday is at the Free. I'll be there, and we're going to give away that beautiful print courtesy of T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. Hour number one's in the books. Hour number two is on the way.
from the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles. Here's Steve DeSager.
At the U.S. Open, number 4 seed Jessica Pegula won her quarterfinal. Next, she'll face number 1 Aryna Sabalenka, who advanced when her opponent withdrew due to a knee injury. Men's number 2 Carlos Alcaraz advanced to the semis, as did Novak Djokovic. Ohio State is number 1 in the new college football polls. Penn State is still number 2. LSU is up to number 3 in AP. The New England Patriots say wide receiver Stephon Diggs will play in Sunday's opener after last year's torn ACL. In the WNBA, Golden State won 66-58 over New York. Hall of Fame college basketball coach George Raveling died at the age of 88. To Major League Baseball, Toronto won again 12-9 at Cincinnati. George Springer hit 2 home runs. The Mets got 2 homers from Pete Alonso and won 12-5 at Detroit. Boston, with 4 runs in the 8th, defeated Cleveland 11-7. Dodgers and Padres each lost. Tampa Bay won its 5th in a row.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair, featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine today. The chance of a few scattered showers through tonight. The high today, 86. The low tonight, 67. Tomorrow, partly sunny. A few spots could see a passing shower during the day. The high in the upper 80s at 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number 2 of the Gary Harris Show right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield with you. Kind of at 1030, Larry the Music Man. No other guests, though, so we'll have some time for some phone calls, too. And in the first hour, I gave a long analysis of where Alabama's at right now. And the fact that, again, this is not trying to sugarcoat anything. I have been just as, you know, straightforward with what happened in Tallahassee as anyone else has. It was a poor performance, but there's a lot of football to be played, and it starts this Saturday night against the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks. More on ULM in just a moment. First, though, I need to tell you, this hour of the Gary Harris Show brought to you as always by Patterson Law Firm. When you call Patterson Law Firm at 205-345-1000, you won't get a call center. You'll get real attorneys right here at home, accessible, compatible, compassionate and committed. I'll get it out in just a minute. Sitting here drinking my Pepsi Zero, and I got a little air in my throat there. But Patterson Law Firm, you hear from Paul Patterson and North Patterson regularly here on the program when they come in on some Tuesdays and have a segment with us. But I believe in these gentlemen. If you've been hurt in an automobile accident or dealing with any kind of legal questions, give them a call, 205-345-1000, or find out more at PattersonLawPC.com. Local, trusted, and here for when you need us. That's Patterson Law Firm.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
All right, I mentioned we got more on ULM. We're going to hear from Brian Vincent, the head coach, and I ran a clip from him last night on my sportscast at WVUA 23, but his background is in the state of Alabama. He graduated from West Alabama. He coached high school football here. He was the offensive coordinator for Bill Clark at UAB, and then he took over as the interim coach. Did a really good job there. There were a lot of people that felt like he should have been named the permanent head coach there at UAB. Didn't happen. He's now at ULM as their head coach and interim athletic director. And he had his press conference this week previewing the matchup with Alabama. Listen, they're excited about the opportunity. Let's hear now from the head coach of the Warhawks, Brian Vincent.
Here for his weekly press conference before Saturday's game at Alabama, coach, start a personal statement, and then we'll open up for questions.
You're always glad to come off a victory. You know, wins in college football are hard to get. We're excited about the win, but we've also focused on the things that we've got to continue to get better at, and really in all three phases. So, Obviously, now we're moving on. We've got a big opponent, obviously, in the University of Alabama. We understand, you know, what kind of program Alabama is, what kind of the tradition that they have, and really the program that they've been for decades. Excited about the opportunity to go to Tuscaloosa on a Saturday night. We know we've got a lot of work ahead for us, but really the main thing right now is that we focus on ourselves and we continue to get better. You know, the speed and the power of this game Saturday night is going to be good for us. We need to see this. We need to be in this fire and really see where we're at. We've got to have a great week of practice. We've got to clean up a lot of things, especially some of our execution, you know, in all three phases. But, you know, this team, you know, we're focused on the day and being able to get better each and every day. And we understand this is a journey. You know, it's not a sprint. So, you know, we're excited about this opportunity, you know, in Tuscaloosa. Questions?
You know, Coach, you talk about just the execution part, a little bit more offensively, red zone, being in the red zone, putting points on the board, whether it's 6-4-3, you know, just early in the season, obviously, but just how crucial is that to really improve on that once you get to Sunday?
I think it's critical. If you look situationally against St. Francis, you know, we were in the red zone 5 times and we had 4 touchdowns and 1 field goal. So we were 5 for 5 in the red zone. Third downs, we were at offensively, we were 42%, I think 5 for 12. And really, 40% is winning. 45% plus, we feel like, is championship level in third downs. The thing that was disappointing was really those first 4 drives. In those first 4 drives, we had a separate holding call in each one of those, 3 of the 4, that put us 1st and 20, that put us 2nd and 22. That one touchdown was called back to TG. And then you sit back and you look at the 3rd drive. I mean, we had back-to-back drops, really on routine plays. And then we had a false start to make it 3rd and 15. So that was really the frustration from the first half. We settled down in the second half, and then we started getting a rhythm. I think we had a 16-play drive and a 10-play drive, and we were able to really settle in and execute a lot better. But that was really the frustration, was that first half, just from self-inflicting, you know, penalties and really just missed opportunities or lack of execution on some of the drops.
Going forward, I mean, this week, what are you going to say to your guys in the locker room? What are you going to try and get yourselves into a belief, you know, mentally going into Tuscaloosa that you guys can, you know, pull something off?
I think the biggest thing is this. Look, we know what we're up against. You know, this is a top-5 program. But it's not about Alabama. It's really not. It's about what did we not do right. That one game that we've been in, you know, the one time where you can truly look in the mirror, and you look in the mirror every day after practice, and you play the game every day in practice. But then that's reality, you know, and that's what really sinks through to kids is when they see themselves in the game. And we've got a lot of things that we've got to clean up, and we've got to focus on us, and we've got to put our head down and really continue to build our standard of toughness and discipline. And those penalties are not part of our standard, because that's discipline. And I think that the execution is more focused, you know. So we're going to be in an electric environment. It's going to be an environment a lot of kids dream of playing in. To me, it's about us, and it's about execution, you know, one play at a time, really in all three phases, and just going out there and turning it loose and playing football and playing to our standards.
It was all starting defensively for you guys Saturday. You know, obviously pitched a shutout. We talked about turnovers, one football games after a big turnover in the first half. Just how's that defense continue to build off of that week one success?
You know, again, you know, we're proud and we are so excited, you know, of getting the first shutout in 15 years, but our defense will be the first ones to tell you we probably had 8 busts and probably 9 missed tackles. So we've got to continue to stay at the base fundamentals of great defense, and that's playing with great pad level. That's owning your gap. That's getting 11 hats to the football. That's being able to be a bunch of gang tacklers and being able to also tackle in space. So, you know, it's early. I like, you know, the first performance, and we realize that, and they know, they'll be the first to tell you there's a lot to clean up on that side of the ball, but I like the potential. I like the mentality that we have on that side. I think it's continuing to grow, and it's continuing to show itself. But overall, I thought that, you know, it was a good night with a lot of things to still clean up.
What did the, you know, success look like, just up in the room from a coaching staff's perspective? Just if you watch the game, come back next day, slow, you know, even if you guys lose, whatever, that was a successful game, like we did as much as we could.
To me, the key to us is really who we are every day. And if you think about this, okay, when our kids wake up, what's the first thing they got to do? They got to come in and weigh in and get breakfast. And they want to be on time and they want to start it right. And then they've got meetings, and whether it's weight room or film or whatever it is, class, study hall, just doing every little thing right throughout the day. And then you do, and whether it's practice. So then you go to this game. You know, we want to play with a mentality. We want to play with an edge. Look, we know what we're up against. We know this is one of the top five teams in the country. Good. You know, we're not going to go in there scared, I can promise you. And we're not going to go in there and blink. We know this is a really good opponent that has, you know, a chance in my mind to rebound and still make the playoffs. They've still got their season in front of them. I know Kane Womack. We worked side by side. I've coached with Freddie Roach before. I know a lot of their coaches. Great guys, great coaches. They'll have their players ready, and it's our job to have our guys ready. At the bottom line, it's a football game Saturday night in Tuscaloosa in front of, you know, 100 and some thousand. Good. You know, we're looking forward to it.
You guys can come in and play in that kind of environment. You know, there's really no other experience or anything else I can prepare them for, you know, or nothing else can be bigger than that.
Correct. Yeah, that's why I'm glad we're doing it week two. I'm excited to go up there. Then we turn around, we got to go to UTEP. You know, then we've got to go to Northwestern. We've got to go to Coastal. We've got to go to Southern Miss. So this is going to be good for us.
Does last year's game at Texas help at all, just being in that SEC environment, just the stage being, you know, huge? Like, you guys need experience as far as, like, just knowing what the atmosphere is going to be like, I guess.
I think so. I think those games definitely, because we've got some guys back and they know, you know, those kind of environments and those kind of crowds and really the size and the speed. I felt like playing Texas last year helped us go to Troy. I felt like it helped us come back and be ready for a good James Madison team and then a Southern Miss team. So I think all in all, the biggest thing is this is going to help this team grow and develop.
Your first road game this season, obviously, you know, just talk about mentally, physically, what changed for you guys?
I mean, it's really, our routine stays the same. I think that it throughout the week, the biggest thing is now, this is our first time that we really go away from Malone Stadium, and we've had one game. But your competitive teams and your teams that make a run, you know, somewhat throughout that season at a conference championship or make a run at postseason play, those teams with the right mentality and toughness, they like going on the road. They like being in, you know, hostile territory. They enjoy that moment, and they realize that we're all we got, and we're all we ever really had, and all we've got is each other, and we have got to communicate. We got to stay calm in chaos, steady in the storm, and we got to go out there and execute at a high level in that hostile environment. And to me, the true competitors, they enjoy that. So we're looking forward to it.
Do you think it's worse that you're playing them from off a loss, or do you think it's, you know, just kind of a angry animal, I guess, that could be in this case?
I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, Coach DeBoer and that coaching staff, they'll have something to prove this Saturday, and that's fine. That's in their locker room. That's in their field house. And I understand that. That's how we would be here. But, you know, our focus is our kids and our preparation and our mentality and our toughness and our execution as we continue to grow this program.
You want to go back offensively. You talked last week Monday just about the excitement from this running back group and that by committee mentality. Had a first chance to see him in game action, saw the production they had. Just seeing them week one, how much excitement is that? How much more excitement does that bring to see what they did?
I think you continue the growth. You sit there and you see, you know, Bam, Braylon McReynolds, you see Zach Palmer, you see Dorian Lewis make those runs, you see, you know, Deshaun Ford, you see Tyrell Bird, T-Bird, Tyrell Reed, and you see all these guys' growth and development, and you really started seeing D-Ford and T-Bird the last seven practices. So I think the switch has started coming on with them to need that game speed in practice and to lay it all out on the line. And then they started being able to transfer that game speed in practice to the field now. So this will be a big challenge. The speed of this game will be at an all-time level. So you've got to go as hard as you can to prepare for that Saturday moment or that Saturday night.
You mentioned the running back and everything. Deshaun Ford, he featured a little bit last week, but maybe fans were thinking he might feature more because he was listed on the depth chart as in the top 10. Do you think we'll see more of him this week?
I think as the weeks go and how he practices, we'll just continue his reps. The thing about Deshaun is his attitude and his mentality. He is totally focused on getting better. He cares. It means something to him. He's tough. So I think Deshaun Ford is just going to continue to climb as this season goes.
I got to ask you, Coach, obviously, my first game in the SEC, Missouri, 10 carries, 100 yards. You know, you've seen up close and personal with all last season. You know, not surprised, was it?
Not at all. I mean, if he had 20, he probably would have had 200, you know. So average 10 yards a carry is pretty good. So, but no, wish him a lot of success.
Depending on the score this week and everything, obviously last week when it got a little bit out of hand for you guys in a good way, you know, Landon Graves came in, had a couple different guys on offense and defense, I guess, second string, third string guys, you know, get their appearance. Do you think that could be the case this weekend?
Well, I think Landon's had a great summer. He's had a great fall camp. You know, the difference between Landon and Hunter was Hunter's played in games and Hunter's had that experience and he's got some, you know, several roles in this offense. So we wanted that opportunity for Landon to get out there and do it in the game and get that experience. I thought Landon was calm. He was cool. He was ready for the moment and he proved it. So now, you know, as much as we can grow him and Hunter and Aiden, that protects the team. That gets them all better. It really creates depth throughout this 12-week season, or, you know, regular season. So anytime we can get that opportunity to grow our guys and continue to build this team, that's what we're going to do.
I think it's pretty interesting to see a guy like Landon, who you said, you know, works so hard in a great summer. You know, when those kind of guys have success and they take advantage of the opportunity, that's meaningful, isn't it?
It's so meaningful. And his confidence, it just grew. His mentality continues to grow. Even his teammates within him, and not that it wasn't already there, because they've seen it. They've seen Landon do it. And for him to get those couple minutes and those drives and have success, his confidence is powerful. And we want to build that and the belief as much as we can.
Are you showing the guys in the tape of like 07, 08, whenever it was when you owned Alabama last time you pulled
a victory? No, it's just such a long time ago, and it's a great moment in the history of this program, and it's a moment, a very proud moment, and a moment that should be celebrated, you know, within these walls. And but to me, it just proves that it can be done, and it has been done, but we're just really focused on this team and getting our team the best we can be, because you want that. Your biggest growth a lot of time is week one to week two. And you might be playing an opponent like Alabama, and that's fine. We got to make that growth. So it's what we're doing daily. And then we got to make that growth the next week and the next, and just continue to climb and not get, you know, the harder it gets, the harder we got to climb.
Coach, can you expand a little bit on the coaching dynamic for this game? You already mentioned you're familiar with their D.C., Coach Moore, also his second year, and also just what the matchup in Alabama means to you, considering that you coached the state at varying levels for most of your career.
You know, but I've coached, you know, obviously at South Alabama and UAB. We played Troy last year at Troy. We were able to play Auburn last year at Auburn. Really never coached in a game, you know, at Bryant-Denny, and spending 27 years in the state of Alabama, you know what Alabama football is all about. It's passionate. There's tradition. There's a lot of pride and a lot of history there, obviously. But being able to go back in that state and actually coach in a game there, I think it's a moment, you know, that we'll, when it's over and everything's done, you'll be able to reflect back and say, you know, it's a big deal, you know, to coach, you know, at Bryant-Denny Stadium against University of Alabama. But it's a moment that we want to be ready for and we want to be prepared for, and we want to go up there and represent ULM the way this university and this town deserves to be represented.
We're back here on the Gary Harris Show after listening to Bryant Vincent, the head coach of the ULM Warhawks, with a nice breakdown of his team and the game. It's 10:20 here on the Gary Harris Show. Hey, I want to remind you that lunch is right around the corner, and I tell you this, daily lunch specials, daily drink specials, there's a lot of different things that you can get at Who's Q and Brew, Highway 82 in the Northridge Center in Tuscaloosa. And that's one of my favorite places. And a lot of people that have listened to the show have given it a try. And they do some great things there. Michael, the general manager, they have live music occasionally on Monday nights. They play bingo. They play trivia. I mean, they keep it fun. Open 7 days a week. As I said, daily lunch specials that you need to try. In fact, today is Wednesday, and that's rib day. And I'm going to tell you something, man. I love their ribs. In fact, I love getting by there on Wednesdays when I can grab some ribs at Who's Q and Brew, 1825 McFarland Boulevard North in the Northridge Center. All right, we're going to come back with some more phone calls here at 205-342-9904 and then Larry the Music Man at 10:30. The Gary Harris Show rolls on from T-Town. We'll be back after this.
From the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Resigning Tuscaloosa County School Superintendent Dr. Carrie Johnson's last day on the job will be Friday. Her position will then be advertised, interviews conducted before a replacement is selected. Alabama U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville praising President Trump for recognizing the Redstone Arsenal will save taxpayers money and enhance defense.
It is the perfect place for Space Command. If I thought it needed to go somewhere else because I understand the security of our country, I'd be for that.
Huntsville Redstone Arsenal is adjacent to NASA, space contractors, and the FBI. In sports, Bama football has dropped to 20th in the coaches poll, 21st in the AP poll. Don't buy your new or pre-owned Mercedes-Benz from anywhere other than Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Our local team provides a five-star buying experience and five...
At Tuscaloosa, CDJR.com and by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHsystem.com. Find Tide on Twitter at Tide109 to keep up with show announcements, guests, and our reporters in the field.
You must have known that I feel it's deep enough to swim in. That's when you opened up your heart and you told me.
All right, 345. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Checking the app messages. I need to do that more often, but Johnny G from Mobile messaged in earlier, Bama needs to get hungry again. It might take a 6-loss season to find that hunger with the millionaire Mr. Softies that this generation seems to praise. That was at 9:25. And then Johnny, not a NASCAR fan. He typed in NASCAR boo. Johnny, I respect that, but we only do it once a week, and a lot of people do like NASCAR. And I missed this one from last week from Steve in Northport. We're on the way to Tallahassee. Does Gary know where the Bama fans will be today? Sorry I missed that. Steve, I could have helped you with that, but I'm sure you found him once you got down there. I hope you found him because the Lord knows you had to deal with the Florida State fans after that game. But that's a couple of text messages that came in for my show. I see some others that came in for Christian's show, but we'll let Christian handle his own messages. All right, listen, they're lining up already for Larry Chase. We've got a couple of phone calls already for our Music Man segment, which is coming up with Larry wanting people to point out their five top rock guitarists from the 70s, and we're going to do that next. Quick thought on, and I gave you, like I said, if you were with me at the top of the show, I gave a long, you know, kind of analysis of where Alabama's at right now and how I've turned the page. I know the players and coaches had already turned the page, but how I've now turned the page from that disappointment at Florida State, and all you can do is go forward and hope that the team learned some lessons. I mean, you hate to learn lessons in the first game. I mean, really, let's just be honest. You hate, I remember I hadn't lost a season opener since 2001. So you hate that after an off season where we've heard that everything was great and worked hard and conditioned and in alignment and everything's on the same page and Then you go out and you play poorly. It's disappointing. I mean, there's no doubt, and it's still frustrating to Alabama fans. But as disappointing as it is, you know, I do remember 1975. Alabama had a disappointing season opener against Missouri, and went on to win the rest of their games to go 11-1. I remember other years where there were early losses that you thought were going to derail the season, and they didn't. So, you know, all you do now is get ready to play Monroe on Saturday night. All right, we're going to get to the break because, like I said, they're lined up for Larry the Music Man. We'll talk music, talk rock guitarists from the 70s, and we'll do that next right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
Your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Smoke on the Water. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It is time for the Larry the Music Man segment. And as we said earlier, he wants to know your five top rock guitarists from the 70s. Could be early 70s, could be late 70s, could be with a band, could be a solo artist, could be a duo. Gil has already texted me his, so we'll start off, Larry, with Gil's. He's got Eddie Van Halen, Van Halen Eruption, Alan Collins, Lynyrd Skynyrd Freebird, Peter Frampton, Frampton Comes Alive, Jimmy Page, Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, and Lindsey Buckingham, Fleetwood Mac, The Rumors album. So that's pretty a varied list and some terrific guitarists right there to start us off with.
Man, what a pick.
Yeah.
Gary.
Yeah.
I was out, the sun did rise in South Georgia. I was out early doing my first of the month shopping. I go in Walmart. I'm there about 6:45. I walk in. Dobie Gray is killing it on the house system. Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll. That's what we got to do, folks, for 30 minutes. Give me your heart and soul today. I don't know what else to say. Let's just take a break from the negativity and everything that's going on. But, that is a great pick. Gary, do you have your picks?
No, you know what? I'm going to hold on to mine because we've got so many callers this morning. I want to get everybody on.
Okay.
And, you know, if I got time at the end, I'll give you mine. If not, I want to make, because, like you said, this segment's about the callers. And they are lined up. So let's take them in the order in which they came. Chase, start with Bama Nick and punch him through. He's been on hold the longest. Hey, Bama Nick.
Hey, Gary, Music Man, how's it going, buddy?
Bama Nick, America's Georgia, man. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I told you I'd be calling today. When I talked to you Sunday, I believe it was.
Man, I'm honored, Bama Nick.
This morning.
Huh? Well, I got on the phone with something I got to tell later, but I'm going to hold it. We're doing guitars, Bama Nick, but we don't guitar players, but you can just talk about anything you like. I mean, it's kind of short notice for you, I guess.
Well, I can give you five. I mean, I don't.
Well, go ahead.
Most of the time during the 70s, I was at sea in the Navy. We were overseas a lot. All right, I'm going to go with Eric Clapton.
Okay.
All right.
Jimi Hendrix.
Okay.
Eddie Van Halen. Peter Frampton and Dwayne Allman.
All right. Got my brother Dwayne in there, man. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Almond Brothers. You better believe it. They made their mark in the 70s, along with the other Southern rock artists. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. Man, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. That's the least I can do. I've been telling you I'm going to call Gary's show for a good while. And sometimes I kind of sleep in late, depending on how much I had to drink the night before.
There you go.
I wish there's a lot of mornings I wish I could sleep in, Bam and Nick, believe me.
Yeah, plus Ryan Fowler aggravates me a time or two, and I...
Yeah, he gets you a little worked up every now and then, can't he, Bama Nick?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I like old Ryan. No, he's a good man.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
call him today. I hadn't called him in a couple of days. I'm going to give his show a call today and get my score prediction.
Well, go ahead. While we got you, go ahead and give us your score prediction for Saturday night. I got a 55-6. What do you got?
I got 42-7.
Yeah, I think they're going to roll Saturday night.
I like that. Both y'all. Yeah, that's pretty close to what I had.
All right, Bam and Nick. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you very much. Yeah, good to hear from Bam and Nick. All right, next up is John T. Go ahead and patch John T. You're on with Larry the Music Man. Hey, John T.
Hey, Rocky Bro Hoots. What I'm talking about.
Yeah, Rick Derringer.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I really do appreciate that breaking in with the little Deep Purple and Richie Blackmore. Mm-hmm. He was on my short list on my top five. But, of course, I'm going to have to start off with Jimi Hendrix and, you know, pick whatever song you want.
All the above.
I can't choose one song.
Yeah.
Maybe
my favorite's Bob Dylan's All on the Watchtower. I thought he killed it on that, but that's just me.
That album was phenomenal. Yeah. Double album. Yeah.
Ooh. When Bob Dylan says this will forever be Jimmy's song, you know that means something. But I may throw in Red House Over Yonder. You know, I'll go with that one right there. But and obviously Jimmy Page, you got to go Jimmy Page. And I'm not going to go, you know, Stairway to Heaven. I'm probably going to go something like The Levee Breaks or Going to California.
Oh, you know? Man, you're getting deep there, brother.
Woo!
Yeah, good pick.
You know, everybody's already said, you know, Eddie Van Halen, you know, his sound was so unique that, you know, it brought, you know, everybody else around. But I'm gonna leave him off just because everybody else is gonna have him on there. But I'm gonna go real deep. Tommy Eale, you know, he could just shift time at a drop of a hat on songs, and I'm gonna go deep with a song like "Into the Void" with Tommy Eale.
That's an interesting pick, brother. That's very unique, very unique.
And the next person I'm gonna say, it's a shame we really didn't really get to know what all he could do, and that's Randy Rhoads.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good pick.
Passed away way too young. Yep, yep.
And, you know, he was trained as a classical guitarist.
He sure was.
And
Ozzy bought him a special amp because he said he couldn't sleep because all he did was practice. In the motel room. He said, "That kid's killing me. I gotta sleep." But he said he won't ever budge. Quit.
But the intro into Diary of a Madman.
Oh, man.
You know, that's just...
Yeah. You know, Larry had asked me for my top five, and I said, "Well, we got so many listeners. I'm going to let them give mine because I'm going to listen to what everybody says." And then I'm going to give some that haven't been given, not necessarily my top five, but just so many. You know, and what I'm hoping too, guys, is that somewhere along the line we'll get a caller that, and I get it, man. The British invasion was from the 60s into the 70s, so you're going to get, you know, the usuals there. You're going to get some of the mid-70s Southern Rock. But, you know, the late 70s kind of ushered in the American arena rock scene, and I'm wondering if we'll get, you know, some of those guys. We'll see. But, hey, appreciate it, John T.
Well, listen, I got two more.
All right, well, go ahead. I missed them.
All right. Obviously, Gary Rossington and
there you
company,
go.
You know, needle in the spine.
Come oh, man. You know, the best Wawa work on that. Oh, man.
And
you can call them one, Rossington and Collins, man. You can just say one. They were one body, yeah.
That's right. And of course, Angus Young, you know, he throw in a little blues, and then he could throw in whatever. You know, he was really special, and he had a very special sound. But my ones that came off that didn't make my list: Billy Gibbons, Carlos Santana, Keith Richards, and Richie Blackmore.
Yeah, that's what's cool is you can do your top five, and then you can do just kind of like you said, just off the grid that didn't make it because there's so many good ones. But you know what? You're talking about Rossington and Collins. Y'all know what I saw the other day though. Somebody actually sent it to me, and I should have saved it. I watched it, but I didn't save it. I could probably find it again. But it was because I'd all heard this rumored. It was Ed King playing the Freebird solo before he left the band. And it was a live performance, and it was quite a bit different. Somebody sent that to me, and it was like it was a little more understated than the harder edged one that we see most of the time with Rossington and Collins and Steve Gaines. It was Ed King playing the Freebird solo. I'd never seen it before.
Gary, Ed King, very underrated. What he did in that band, his work at that time. I mean, not just Sweet Home Alabama, just his, when they would do Freebird, you had three guitars playing the same, they were in unison. They were so together, and they didn't overpower each other. Mm-hmm. Nobody tried to overplay the other one, and that's what's important in a great band. Everybody play together like a football team, you know what I mean? And if you'll watch those videos, man, even Steve Gaines is very underrated. Mm-hmm. Steve Gaines was a phenomenal guitar player.
Oh, terrific. Great.
He just didn't have long enough to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great energy.
He only Street Survivors. Yeah. That was his album. Yeah.
Awesome stuff, JT. We got a lot of other callers to get to. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, brother. Hey, Gary, let me get Ellis.
I'm enjoying it. Thank you.
Thank you, John T.
Thank you, brother. Gary, let me get Ellis. He's got a busy schedule. He only sent me three. Ellis from Manchester.
Okay.
Stevie Ray, Eddie Van Halen, Jeff Beck.
Yep.
First of the month, he said, man. Anyway, in May, Dwayne Allman, Dickie Betts, Santana, Jimi Hendrix, Toy Caldwell. How about that?
Yeah.
You know why Toy Caldwell? Because her dad, when she was young, he loved Can't You See. So, there you go. That's what she remembers, you know.
Yeah, classic. Okay. That's a classic.
Yep.
All right, let's see. Next up is going to be Bryce. Punch him through. Hey, Bryce.
Hey, guys. I'm going to pick one that probably nobody else will pick.
It's okay.
My good friend.
I know the one you're picking. I know the one you're picking.
Womack.
I knew it.
Carlos, Eddie Van Halen, Skinner, Freebird, and Stevie Ray.
I knew Travis Womack right off the bat, brother. Good to hear from you, man. You need to get Cowboy moving now. He's still in the band. We're going to hold his spot.
Well,
got to get Cowboy back in here.
You can't tell about him, but he's living high right now.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you this. Yeah. He's not next up. But he is on the list. Cowboy's on hold.
Right.
So we're gonna get to him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bryce.
Travis was on a lot of hit records, you know. So he's probably he's not doing it anymore, but after Stevie Ray passed on for a long time, he's probably one of the fastest guitar pickers in the
Travis Womack is something else. You hear me? People just don't realize what a gift. What a gift he was
He's got his own exhibit at the Music Hall of Fame in Alabama.
So that's right.
That tells you right there, you know, not everybody can
have that. He was silent but deadly. He didn't like the hoopla. He stayed in the shadows, but man, when he played, woo!
Yeah, and I'm fortunate to know him, be a good friend. Be a good friend of mine as well.
Well, you're lucky.
The guy, everybody's holding, but that's my five.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, Bryce. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get our break in, stay on time, come back with more phone calls, your top five rock guitarists. I will give some at the end of the show, but we'll get more callers on. And Cowboy's back, so we'll get to him. Raggy Glory wants to go last. 205-342-9904. 205-342-9904. If you want to get on with Larry the Music Man and let us know your five favorite rock guitarists from the 70s, give us a call. We'll get you on. We'll be back with more of Larry the Music Man segment right after this on the Gary Harris Show.
Southern Ohio Score Prediction Day, Alabama and ULM as we march to Alabama's home opener. We'll break that down with Alex Scarborough from 247 Sports, and we'll talk to Aaron Torres from Fox Sports. And your phone call starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in
your toes.
I'm Tom Osment, your jeweler at Fincher & Osment Jewelers. Not so easy to find on McFarland, between Edgar's and local routes.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this state.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first date at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be...
Language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine today. The chance of a few scattered showers through tonight. The high today 86, the low tonight 67. Tomorrow, partly sunny. A few spots could see a passing shower during the day. The high in the upper 80s at 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama Crimson Tide lives right here.
Donovan Pineapple,
touchdown, Alabama,
on Tide 100.9.
All right, 10:50, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, and Robbie just texted his top five guitarists. He said Prince started at 18 years old with Warner Brothers in 78, so he's my number one. Might have been bigger in the 80s and 90s, but he started in the 70s, and he was a great guitar player. Robbie also has B.B. King, Ace Frehley, Slash, and Hendrix. So good list there. All right, here's your man. Cowboy is back. Punch him through. Chase, Cowboy, you're on with Larry the Music Man.
How you doing, Larry? Good to hear you.
Cowboy, you're making my heart have joy today. I'm so glad you're back. I'm overwhelmed with all the callers, man. We needed this. I was so worried with the gloom all week, and music wins every time, brother. So glad you're back.
So glad you're back.
Man, you know, I just told how I felt, and I don't want to call radio shows and argue with people. But, you know, it's just kind of the way I dissected things. But, well, you know, Larry, well, you're talking about go ahead.
No, give me something. I want to hear what you got. Go ahead.
You were talking about guitars. I'm going to bring this one guy up here as a singer from the 70s, late 60s, but then I'll go into the guitars. We never really have heard anybody talk about Jim Morrison on this show, so I'm gonna let you talk about him after I tell you my guitars. Jimi Hendrix, Adam Clayton, and you know, that'd be my top two guitars. Jimi Hendrix is probably one of the all-time greatest guitarists.
That's interesting, Cowboy. That tells me a lot about you, brother. You can find out about what people eat and what they listen to. You get to know them real quick.
Yeah.
That's a good pick. Adam, yes, sir.
Adam Clayton, you know, is more of a modern-day version, but he's pretty good and that. But, yeah, just speak a little bit about Jim Morrison. I don't think anybody's ever really brought him up that. You know, there's back in the late 80s or 80s when I was in college, there used to be a band that would tour around. Gary might remember they played up in Jacksonville at that Brothers Music Hall. It was called the Back Doors. They kind of sounded just like the Doors.
I remember them.
Louis in Birmingham. But so, you know, just talk a little bit about Jim Morrison. I'll let somebody else get on here.
All right. Well, let me tell you something. The reason I haven't, because I'm a Doors fanatic. I actually know the wife of the drummer, and we're friends on a music page. I was saving them for the 60s because that first album was so big, Light My Fire, and such a big hit, the long version. But Morrison Hotel was one of my all-time favorite albums, and you could call it blues rock. Jim Morrison was a very, like him, don't like him. Jim Morrison was an artist, and he could really go any direction you wanted him to. He was really good on blues. If you'll listen to their blues songs, a lot of people don't contribute. Think about Doors as being blues, but he was very bluesy. And I was saving him for the 60s. To run into the early 70s also, because there's a lot of artists that started in the late 60s that moved into the early 70s and had quite success, you know, and he died too early. I mean, we know that.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Morrison Hotel's a classic, man. Morrison Hotel's just, you know, put my arms on God.
All right, listen, awesome. Cowboy, we gotta get to another caller. We're getting short on time, but good to hear from you, buddy.
I'll say this one thing, and let's you know, Jim Morrison in his book told this girl, you know, you're so beautiful, I could cut your face so nobody else could look at you but me. You know,
listen to Roadhouse Blues, brother. Listen to Roadhouse Blues. That tells it all.
Yeah, okay. He's peculiar. He was a peculiar cat, no doubt about that. All right, thank you, Cowboy. Right. Appreciate you.
It's great, the pianist. All right, y'all be good.
All right, punch Raggy Glory through, and he's going to close us out. Got about 2 minutes. Go ahead, Raggy Glory.
Wow, 2 minutes. And I sort of, you guys always throw a monkey wrench on me, Larry. I didn't know if this was 70s, which I thought it was, and guitar solos and all that kind of stuff, and now we're branching out into all kinds of stuff. Shout out to John T. I agree with you on Tommy Iommi as far as what he could do for Black Sabbath. And here's, I'm just going to go down the list. Number one, Julene says, ZZ Top. And I said, Billy Gibbons. She goes, yes, whatever his name is. So we got to get Billy Gibbons in there. Yeah.
Good deal.
In the 70s, I mean, they were great with Tres Hombres and so on and so forth. Okay, here's mine. 70s. David Gilmour, the song Time. Mark Farner, Grand Funk Railroad, Inside Looking Out.
Ooh.
Don Felder and Joe Walsh doing Hotel California Duel. Neil Young, Like a Hurricane, Anytime Live. And then I had Eddie Van Halen, but I'm going to bring it back. I'm going with Mick Fox from Uriah Heep.
Wow. Okay.
Good. That's a good pick, man. Wide open. I like that. All the picks have been everywhere, like the vocalist thing we did, man. That's what I wanted. You know, everybody remembers what they heard and don't have to be the norm, man. It don't have to be the hits. It don't have to be talk about the artists. But those are great picks, brother. Great picks.
Thank you so much. Yep. You know, been there, done it. You got to live it. And yeah.
You can't Google this kind of stuff, brother. You can't Google an AI this kind of stuff. People heard what they heard and they saw what they saw. Right,
Gary. That's right. That's right, man. You got to live through it. Yeah, you got to. And there's so many. We're getting short on time, but I'm going to hit a few here in a moment. But closing thought from you, Ragged Glory.
Yes. You know what, Larry? You and I share the all-time favorite Creedence Clearwater song, "Man Up Around the Bend."
Yes,
that
sir.
That is my that is my theme song. So, yep.
Always. Yep. Always. Thank you,
love
brother.
Love you guys. Enjoy.
Love you. All right.
All right, Larry. Time flies. We're having fun, and we have fun today. I'm going to hit you up with a few that were not mentioned. That again, I'm pretty eclectic in my taste, but you know I'm a big Pete Townsend fan. I thought he was really. A lot of people said he was more of a showman than a guitar player. I know Richie Blackmore. Great, yeah, Richie Blackmore kind of said he was more show than tell, but I like him. I like Alex Lifeson from Rush. And I'm going to mention George Harrison. He was understated, but George Harrison, man, you got to put the Beatles guitarist in there. And a guy that, you know, again, kind of the arena rock sound, you know, a couple guys that I thought that I was born in 64, so by the late 70s, but I loved Neil Sean. I love Gary Rickrath. You know, there's another great guitarist. I thought Steve Howe from Yes. Asia.
Ungodly.
Yeah. So those are just some that I thought I would throw out there, but we covered a lot of them, Larry.
Gary, how much time I got? I got a half minute to say something.
Go 30 seconds. Yeah, that's it.
Thanks for everybody that called. This means a lot to me. We needed this. And I, soon as I hang up, I will have somebody calling me that I will be bringing on the show, hopefully, that is was close to one of the Southern rock guitar players of the South in the family. So I'm hoping this goes well, and I'll talk more about it Tuesday. So I've got that to look forward to.
Can't wait for that. Hey, I do have a couple app messages that came through. Jared in Dallas said he can't call, but no one's saying Jimmy Page. Well, Jimmy Page did get mentioned.
No, that was on my list, brother. Jimmy Page was on my list.
Yeah. Yep. Did you give your complete list? You gave it
no,
out?
No. Let me give it real quick. I got Dwayne Allman, the Layla album, Phil Morris, Eric Clapton, the Layla album, and all of the above. Dickie Betts, Jessica, Ramblin' Man, Jimmy Page, all of them, Jimi Hendrix, Band of Gypsies, and the Cry of Love album.
All right. Great stuff. Got to go, Larry. Also, Bama Nick, app message. Thank you, Gary, for taking my call today. Great talking to you and the Music Man. I'll be calling your show more often. Roll Tide, Bama Nick, American Justice. Hey, thanks, Larry. We got to run, man. Hey, listen, we got to go. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on the Gary Harris Show.